saving money on everything you need at Menards. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements, and it enhances the appearance of your home's exterior. Owens Corning shingles offer ultimate protection and impressive curb appeal. Choose from 26 colors of Owens Corning Duration shingles and transform your home today. Shop our selection of roofing products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find plenty of great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Here they come, yo. Here they come.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Come on!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Monday on The Usual Suspects and... safe and sound and back in H-Town. Barry Laminack to my right, Nick through the glass, ready to be a big, happy pain in your ass for the next 3 hours. It's The Usual Suspects. Fellas, what is going on?
Which one of us, what's up, man? Which one of us is the pain in the ass? Nick, me, you, or the
Barry,
whole show?
Barry, 100%.
I just kind of made it the entire show.
The show, okay.
Yeah, the show in as a whole will be an entertaining pain in the ass.
He was directing that comment at you.
10 seconds in, you already singled
me
out.
He was singling you out indirectly is what he was doing.
He meant the show. You had to point me out. It's on.
He clearly didn't miss you.
It's on.
While you were in Arkansas.
Why are he clearly trying to put this on me? Just speak your truth.
If he's going to be in a bad mood, if he's going to be in a bad mood, I need him to spit all that fire towards you.
I'm in a great mood.
Spit that fart. What?
That fart, yeah. And the fart.
No.
Yeah, definitely.
Did you brush your teeth?
Why the
hell? Because you said you're spitting farts.
Man, yeah, I think I'm the only one on this show that brushes my teeth.
Whoa, Chief. I actually come complete with
that's right.
Brush
I saw
and
you,
paste
I
in my backpack.
I saw you doing your monthly brushing last week.
Mm-hmm.
Good times in Arkansas, fellas.
You made it back safely on one, you're all together? You seem okay?
I got run off the road by an 18-wheeler. No lie. Almost all the way off the road,
like road
into the grass.
Or just accidental?
Just didn't look. Just came over. That was weird. It's a two-lane road at one point that I'm coming back on, and both of these 18-wheelers, there's two 18-wheelers that get over because there's a car on the feeder. So I was like, well, I'm going to hop over in the slow lane and get around these guys because they always take forever, and I'm trying to get home. So I hop over. I pass the first one, no problem. I'm halfway past the second one. And he starts coming back over into the right lane. And I thought, all right, he's just messing with me. So I held my ground. He wasn't messing with me. He just didn't see me. And so I started honking. And now I'm on the shoulder. Mm-hmm. And he's in the lane.
Is there a guardrail or is it just
No, it's just just a guardrail and then some grass. But I had to get on the shoulder, slow all the way down, get behind him.
Did you catch him again to where he might have been able to say my bad or something?
I got up next to him. I opened my sunroof. I gave him the finger.
Oh, nice.
I asked him if he wanted to pull over. I was so mad. You literally could have killed me. Could have ran me off. I mean, he did run me off the road. I had to drive on the show. Oh, I was so pissed. Oh,
evidently Nick didn't pay him enough. Nick survived. Thought it was just to scare
what
you.
A dumbass 18-wheeler
driver. He was supposed to actually
finish
the deal.
But it was wild on Saturday. The show's on Saturday. I have never seen so many people with physical ailments at one show in my whole life. I don't know if this was an Arkansas thing. I was like, is this because of inbreeding or is this just?
Is it just the?
By the way,
is it just fans of Barry?
No, they're not coming to see me necessarily.
I mean, you're kind of a big deal.
Not. Also, went to find Coleman milk. Still couldn't find any. I came back empty-handed. No Coleman milk. I was very disappointed.
So you didn't get the 4 inches you thought you were going to get?
I did not gain 4 inches while I was there, unfortunately. So both of us.
Okay.
But this one show, and they were all up front, except the blind guy. He was in the back.
I'm sorry, the blind guy?
Yeah, it doesn't matter where you sit the blind guy, right?
Right.
It doesn't really matter. Yeah. So there was a blind guy there. There was a one-armed man there, but like it was like half of the forearm was gone.
Okay.
And it was funny because he was in the front row, and the guy on stage, the headliner, at one point goes, "This guy knows," and put his fist out to fist bump him, and he pulled the nub up.
Oh,
wow. I was like, "Oh no, don't bump it!" Like what? So then there's another guy sitting at the stage. I just called him Front Row Joe because you could tell, like, he was very talkative. But this dude is, it's a party. It's a birthday party. And it's not for him. It's for, I don't know, his son or whatever. But this dude has a broken leg and a pink cast. So he's this big, burly, redneck looking dude with a pink cast. Oh, and wow. He's got his foot on the stage, which is disrespectful. Like, if you're at a comedy show and you're in the front row, don't put your feet on the stage. This isn't your living room coffee table. Like, this is a... I'm working. Mm-hmm. Just keep, you know, you can do whatever. Just keep your feet off the stage. So this dude's got, but it's a broke leg, so I kind of understand he's got to keep it elevated or whatever, right? But he's also missing his thumb. He's got, like, his thumb is gone. Like the whole half of his thumb is gone. And so is his middle finger.
All of it or part of it?
The middle finger is also gone at the second knuckle. I was like, that's weird that if you lost, you would think you would lose then the index finger as well if this was a turns out, two separate incidents.
You asked him?
Yeah, I asked him, Joel.
I'm thinking sawmill, fireworks, what the hell did this guy do?
Yeah, Jason Pierre-Paul style, right?
Yeah, right.
No, he just, he didn't have a middle finger, and but I didn't ask him why. I just said, what happened? He's like, it's the damnedest thing, man. This was after the show, because I obviously didn't ask while I was on stage. Right. But I was like, bro, what's your nickname, Lucky? Because you got, he goes, man, it's the damnedest thing I ever seen, man. I broke my leg. Day later, lost my thumb. I was like, you lost it? He's like, well, you know, it's an accident. It's my fault. I was messing around. I didn't even get into details because he was drunk, but his son was like, yeah, man, he don't have good luck with that one hand.
Like, good Lord.
How do you, the thumb and the middle finger just halfway down, just gone. And he didn't care. He was just like, yeah, whatever. He was more mad about his broke leg. And I was like, because, I mean, the one thing I don't like, as you know, as you both know, is I'm not trying to hang out and talk to people for a long time afterwards, after
right,
the show.
Right.
So I just was like, damn, bro, like, you know, you have bad luck. And so but then after he left, I was like, I should have asked, like, what happened? Like, I wanted the stories, but I knew I would have never, it would have taken forever. But I just thought, if anyone needed laughs, if anyone needed some jokes in their life. And then, of course, I didn't do it, but the headliner and the host just the whole time were picking on him about his foot and his thumb and his middle finger, and they were calling him Lefty. And just at one point, though, his son, I guess he had put his foot down during my set. His foot was on the floor, and his son kicked it on accident, his leg.
The broken one.
Yeah. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm in the middle of a joke, and all of a sudden I hear, I was like, what the hell is that? And I look down, and it's that dude, and he's just going, I was like, are you pooping? What are you doing? He's like, he kicked my foot. I was damn. Well, thanks for being very distracting, sir. It was just as if you weren't distracting enough with your, you know, 8-9 digits, because I guess both of those are halves. So a half, yeah. Two halves equals a whole. So he could count to 9 technically.
And he didn't have the Ronnie Lott story?
Nothing. I didn't get it. Like I said, I didn't get it. I didn't want to know. I was just like, wow, bro. Like, you really... So much for, like, could you imagine? You can't even use your phone. The texting is out.
Well, you just get to use to develop the other digits. Yeah. Implement the, yeah, get the bigger numbers and implement the nubs or use the other digits.
But I'm looking at that. I'm looking at the man who his arm at his forearm, middle of his forearm was gone. And I'm the blind man. And I did that joke about deaf people. And he was like, that was awesome. And I was like, I didn't think you'd like that. And he goes, I ain't deaf. I was like, okay, cool. That's cool.
I thought you were going to tell me that all the guys missing parts of their anatomy worked at the same place.
Oh, my God.
It's like a machine shop.
The Coleman Milk Factory.
That's why it's closed.
Yeah. I don't. That was just weird. I've never seen that many ailments and disabilities in one show.
Still good crowds?
It was weird crowds. So I had Thursday was packed. It was sold out.
Was that the med school?
That was the med school thing, and they were weird. I was glad I don't do colleges. And then Friday and Saturday, we had decent crowds all four shows, but they were just weird. There's some times where you just have a week where it's not clicking. Like, I'm used to, and this sounds, I hate to say this, but it sounds cocky, but I'm used to doing really well. Like, I've polished my set. I have a good 30 minutes, and I know I'll do well. And I wasn't doing as well as I normally expect to do. So it for me, it's either a 10 or a 1. I'm either killing or I'm bombing in my mind. And even though it's probably a, you know, somewhere between a 5 and a 7. That just, if it's not a 10, it's a 1 for me. So it was kind of a weird thing, but everybody's like, "No, you did great. The comment cards were great. Everybody loved you." So I don't know, you know, it's just a weird vibe. It's Arkansas, dude. It's Little Rock, Arkansas.
You think that scouting report's going to make it back to the improv here so that word travels and then therefore you get the good scouting cards?
I wish.
It should be that way.
Some places like that guy, that's that the loony bins, there's four of them. There's Oklahoma City, Wichita, Tulsa, and Little Rock. And they what?
In fact, you got people missing anatomy and you're talking about how crazy they all are. And then the place is called the loony bin. You sure you were performing at the right spot?
Yeah.
I
swear. I hate the name.
The lap stop was two corners down on the left, but you did the loony bin as a favor.
If I ever open a comedy club, and I've thought about it because we need another one here in Houston. But if I ever open a comedy club, I'm going to go with the most run-of-the-mill generic. Because I hate these names, man. Some of them are just awful. And I love the clubs. They're great. But this, you know, they're just bad.
So laughs a lot? No?
No. Not there's like the funny bone. That's not bad. Mm. There's the comedy zone. I like that. But then there's like, there's chuckles. There's the loony bin.
Hyenas.
But I love hyenas. But there's like, so like in El Paso, it's called the comic strip. I'm good with that. Mm-hmm. That's a good name. But then there's like ha-has and I don't know. Rooster T Feathers is the name of a comedy club. Rooster T Feathers. So yeah, it bothers me that I have to tell people I work at these places, but.
Dude, they pay you.
They pay.
As long as the checks don't bounce, they pay. Right.
That's right.
All right, so we're all present and accounted for. That means we're ready to go on another show starting a new week, a big week, because the listener appreciation party is Thursday night this week. So that should be a fun experience for everybody involved. We're looking forward to that as well as everything else. Lots to talk about. Astros opening up another series starting tonight in Chi-Town against the White Sox as they wrapped up one against the Orioles. Texans back home. Practicing this week and welcoming the Lions in before their game Saturday night at NRG. And the NBA schedule is released today at 3 Eastern. So that's just a few of the things on the list for today. And if you want to join the show, 713-780-3776. That's our HR&P listener line. You can call that number, text that number. Also, you can hit us up on Twitter where it's at Barry is funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at the producer Nick. I promise, Nick's going to hear, you're going to hear from Nick next. It is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, just getting started. A little bit of, I guess you could call it, breaking news. After Rich Paul came out to speak about the Rich Paul rule for underclassmen in the NCAA considering making the jump to the NBA, the NCAA has now amended their agent certification requirements, and it all boils down to that bachelor's degree. Now, instead of stating that a prospective agent has to have a bachelor's degree, they are saying you have to have a bachelor's degree and or currently certified and in good standing with the NBPA. In other words, if you've already been a practicing agent representing NBA clients, That means that you have the certifications necessary, that you don't need a bachelor's degree to try and get and represent these kids still in college basketball.
I saw somebody on a thread talking about this, and they were like, what's silly is that the NFL has been requiring this. And that I don't know if the
NBA, but
it says the NFL and the NBA require it. So why wouldn't the NCAA require it? It has nothing to do with. But I don't think that's the case.
That can't be the case because Rich Paul does not have his bachelor's degree, and he represents a ton of talent.
But
in the NBA.
But he did come out and say this. He did come out and say, "Look, I'm opposed to a bachelor's degree because there are people in certain situations that are just unable to go to college. They're just economically." Disadvantaged, and it's different. I don't have a bachelor's degree. I mean, I didn't go to college. I'm not like you two fancy guys. I got an associate's from Lone Stars. Does that make me a dumbass? Don't answer that. What it means, don't shush it. But I mean, I was able to work as a project manager for Halliburton and divestitures and all these things, and did pretty well for myself in the business world. A bachelor's degree doesn't necessarily translate into you being intelligent or know what you're doing.
Right.
And that's part of his point. It just means some of us have the money or the ability to go to school and get it.
Well, and that's part of it. The other part of it is too, that opportunity knocks, and sometimes it knocks when you least expect it. And you maybe had the best intentions of going to college and doing these things, but all of a sudden, you know, someone that has some connections called you up and said, "Hey, I got a gig for you." And it might not be right away, you know, lucrative, but if you work hard at it and you stick with me on this, it could develop into something. And you follow that path, it works out for you. And then years later, you find out with this ruling that you're going to get punished because you took the path less traveled, but you excelled at it. That's just not right.
His other point was, he said he's not opposed to having to pass some sort of certification exam.
Mm-hmm.
And the experience part of it, having to have done it for 3 years or whatever. But his whole point was just singling out, you know, college. And I see both sides of it, though, because there are some jobs, there are certain positions in corporate America that require you have a four-year degree in order to hold that position.
Yeah, and a lot of times it's not necessarily you need the four-year degree to get that particular position, but they want to know that you've had some perspective and some challenges in life, and college is kind of a test for you, and it doesn't necessarily mean you have to have that degree to have that position. But
and IT specifically, and I can't speak for other industries, but I started in IT in 1998 up until, 2.5-3 years ago when this show started full-time. Mm-hmm. But through that whole almost 20 years of being in the corporate world, working for Fortune 50 companies, Fortune 15 companies, I can tell you that there are positions and there's a ceiling on how far you can move up if you don't have a bachelor's degree. I was able to get in and work without it, but there are positions where you'll see requires a four-year degree, requires a master's in economics or whatever. But a lot of positions will also say requires a four-year degree or equivalent experience. And that's what Rich Paul was saying is, look, that's fine if you want to say you can have it. And that's what the rule basically says now. That they amended it. It says have a bachelor's degree and or are currently certified and in good standing with the NBBPA. So,
and you're going to find that a lot more in Fortune 500 companies, in big time companies that have an HR department. The Nikes of the world were one of the first to actually really have those requirements and staunch interviewing procedures, including having that on your resume, because of the fact that they are always gone over with a fine tooth comb, no matter when they hire, who they hire, how they hire. But I will say this, having talked to a lot of kids and worked with a lot of interns in my previous life with my other jobs too, I always tell these kids, look, the bottom line is it's important to learn and get your education. But who you know becomes more valuable than what you know at a certain point in the professional world. And that's why you always have to make sure that you never burn a bridge. You always maintain relationships. You keep contacts with people because those are the people that can open doors just as much as the books and getting a degree does. And I think a lot of times kids lose sight of that. This is one of those deals where I think the NCAA, because they're also a school, an institution representing schools of higher learning, they're going to push the degree aspect.
Well, that's what seems weird to me, is that it is the NCAA. Why wouldn't you want your people to have gone to college? You're basically, quote, student athletes, and student comes first, and so you're pushing the agenda of education. So I get it if they're the ones that are saying, hey, we want people that are representing our students to be educated.
But it's also kind of hypocritical because, yes, they're representing institutions of higher learning, but they're also interviewing guys to represent kids that aren't going to get their degree. They're going to be one and done.
True.
So that's where you can see both sides of the spectrum where – how are you going to tell me that I need to have a bachelor's degree to represent a kid that's not going to get a bachelor's degree that's going to go make money in the NBA?
That's a good point.
I think it's just weird because they've never had that rule in place. Like Barry mentioned earlier, the NBA has that rule, but the NCAA doesn't. And I think that's the reason why it's kind of a bad look. Maybe it's not a bad look because I don't know the details of what was the incentive for putting the rule in place to begin with. But Bobby Marks, who's a front office insider for ESPN, yep, tweeted this out, and he said, credit to the NCAA for amending the rule. However, how did we even get to this point? The initial rule should have never been put in place. And I tend to agree with it. The other side of the spectrum is, well, they're fixing their own mistake, so they don't deserve any credit. But for me, it's because they've been doing this for so long, it does beg the question, why all of a sudden? And that's the reason why the Rich Paul rule came out, and that was trending, and LeBron was probably the force behind that. But it does beg the question, considering they've never had it to begin with.
I think the biggest thing to take into consideration are the guys where the system has failed them. You know, you always hear about the Kevin Garnetts, or you hear about the guys that were one and done and then were a first-round pick and got the three-year guaranteed money. It's where the system fails when a kid is sold a bill of goods by a lot of these agents, by a lot of these representatives stating, you don't need college anymore. You're ready to go. And everybody I talked to said, you're going to be a high pick. And then you slide to the second round and you realize with that slide comes no guaranteed money, no three-year deals, no security, and you can't go back to school. That's the biggest problem. If you could say, man, I thought I was going to be a first-round pick, and you find out you're not, you should be able to go back to school and keep working at it so that you can try it again.
Okay, but having a four-year degree doesn't make you not a slime
ball.
No,
and I completely agree with
that. It doesn't make you bad at being an agent. I think that it was a regular. I mean, I know plenty of people that don't have
a that's not my point. I was just addressing to him where the system has failed.
Oh, well, I'm just saying my point to the NCAA would have been, and I think it's a lot of people's, is having that degree doesn't necessarily guarantee you someone that's intelligent and that's going to be a good agent.
Right.
Because, again, there are just slime balls that, hey, this slime ball went to college. Great. He's still a dumbass. He's still an idiot. He's still a slime ball. I know plenty of people with four-year degrees that are idiots.
Yeah. I mean, there's certain industries where, like, traditional industries where I would like you to have a four-year degree, right? Like an engineer. I would hope he has an engineering degree. A doctor. I would hope, he's a medical doctor.
Degree. I don't want a doctor with a four-year degree.
Yeah. No, I would hope. But you can't become a doctor without a four-year degree. I mean, you don't go to medical school without a four-year degree.
It was a joke.
Right. But, yeah. Okay. I know. I was in the middle of what I was saying. But yeah, but I'm just saying, like, certain industries, I would expect you to have that traditional four-year degree. But others, no.
I think at Bobby Marks' point, too, was take a guy like Alton Ford from U of H. He thought he was going to be a first-round pick and be rolling in dough. And when he wasn't, and he went in the second round, and all those guarantees and everything was gone, he's lucky enough that he kind of latched on and he played overseas and he still made some money. But a lot of these kids, their lives are ruined and they can't go back to school and finish what they started degree-wise and get a redo.
Yeah.
And I think that's the biggest problem.
I feel like if you didn't go and make a lot of money, of course, then you start taking money from agents, which I was reading an article today about that, about the money that agents give and try to get back. That's a whole other ball of wax.
No doubt about it. All right, so that was the breaking news that we got when we were in the last break. We're going to continue to roll on. If you want to talk about it, give us a shout. Otherwise, we've got other things to get to, like your Astros, like a lot of other things, including the NBA schedule coming out today and the Texans back home to practice. So if you want to join us, hit us up. HRNP listener line, 713-780-3776. Or hit us on Twitter, where we're normally pretty good about responding that way, too. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second half hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. The halls are alive. With the sound of fantasy football.
The hills are alive.
That was awful.
I don't know that we needed any of that.
With the Sound of Music.
Nick is looking at you right now like you're just bat crap crazy.
I'm a good singer.
Where? In the car with the windows up. We've already discussed it.
I'm an awful singer. Awful.
You don't have to convince me.
Shut up, Joe.
I completely go with that. So, Astros, you were out of town. But we're going to get to some Astros because there's a lot to talk about and break down there. I know. I was leading you in. I thought you were going to grab the bull by the horns, and instead we just kind of...
You were leading me in Astros with the full
fantasy
football?
No, we started first about... The hills are... Then you started opera singing.
All right. Let me just read this. It's fantasy football time, people! Pay attention, fantasy football geeks and nerds like me. You want to be in my league? I have my own league. That's right. And you can come out and join me at Twin Peaks Shenandoah next Monday... August 19th, I'll be there from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., where I will be doing my live ESPN Fantasy Football Draft. And now's your chance to join the league with me. It's my league. It's the we're going to call it the Laminac League. No, we're going to come up with something better than that.
Dingleberries.
No. First place wins a $100 gift card in the league, but you guys don't have to worry about that because I'm winning. But here's what we're going to do. You want to join my fantasy football league? Just my fantasy football league. If you're calling, don't call yet because I haven't said it. So if that was you that just called to get his hang up, you're not eligible yet. So here's what we're going to do. If you want to be in my fantasy football league, the first three callers right now will get in and play on the league with me. Make sure you can show up and attend the draft at Shenandoah Twin Peaks next Monday, August 19th from 7 to 9 p.m. But the first three callers, you're going to get three spots in the league. And then we're going to fill six more the rest of the day. So here's your chance if you're on the app or if you're listening on the stream or Twitch or whatever. At 2:30 and at 3:30, we're going to do it again. So be ready. And then we'll do those reads and you can join the Dingleberry League. No, we're not calling it that. Nope.
Yep.
We're absolutely not calling it that.
I think you are.
No.
Yep.
Mm-mm, no. We're going to come up with something better.
I don't know if there is anything better.
There are people that still text wanting Dingleberry shirts. That's not happening, people.
It's a good one. You could make them. Then some guy at the listener party will tell you he made a better one.
Dingle and the Berries? That would be a good group name. That sounds like a 50s doo-wop band, right?
Yeah.
Dingle and the Berries?
Yep.
And it's just a group of people who just play like the triangles and the knee cymbals, the washboard and stuff.
Could be the Big Bopper?
Nope. I don't like that at all.
Okay. So,
Astros?
We fought about it, but we're all doing fantasy football now this year.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of, I forgot to tell you guys during show prep, but I have confirmed Sigmund Bloom once again this year. So.
Very nice.
Yes.
We like
He's
Sigmund
legit,
Bloom.
Man. Good he dude. Has. He also has, the app?
They've got the Draft Dominator app. They've got the Lineup Dominator app. And, footballguys.com is legit a great fantasy football resource. And this relationship with Sigmund now going on 6 years, I believe.
That's great. Good.
So I'm happy to have him back. And he does a great job for us every week. It's that rapid fire sit, start, flex segment that we do every year. And he'll be back again for us.
So. And don't get it twisted. We do it for you guys.
Of course.
Because you guys all have questions. It saves us the time of having them scattered throughout the week. But when we can do it and do rapid fire like we do, we try and get as many questions as you have out there answered as quickly as possible. And he's fantastic with his memory.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
With the way he rattles off information. So that's great to know he'll be back for another year as you guys, the suspects, will have the answers that you need. I kind of wish the Astros had the answers that they need. In terms of Roberto Osuna, because, you know, I knew that you were going to react this way. So I did want to let you know that doing a little research, since the All-Star break, he has a 5.40 mm-hmm. ERA and his whip's approaching 1.3.
In his career, August and September are his worst months. He has a sub-3 ERA March through July. August and September, through his career, his ERA has spiked to 3.5 or better.
Now, unless you tell me that in October and November, they skyrocket in the right direction and they go down into the sub-3s.
Well, remember, he didn't have a great 2018 in the postseason.
Kind of where I was going. The fact that I don't need him in March. I need him in October and maybe November.
Here's the funny thing, though. I started doing research. He's got 5 blown saves. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's not awful. It sounds awful. I mean, you're sitting there thinking, wow, that's not good at all. You want to hear some other guys that have 5 blown saves? Kenley Jansen.
Yeah.
Aroldis Chapman. Shane Green. Ryan Pressly has 5 blown saves. But you're not hating on Ryan Pressly.
Well, if I was making Ryan Presley my closer and giving him a shot.
But he's blown five saves from the setup position.
Because he just hasn't gotten the opportunity that he so sorely wants and needs.
By the way, I did this whole exercise, what, 2 years ago or a year ago with Ken Giles?
Yeah.
We had to go through the same thing again.
You had his back, too. And here's the other thing. All those guys you just named with the exception of Presley, they don't play for the Astros, so I don't care. I'm just a little bit uneasy about a guy that, with the numbers you just gave me, that starts to decline at a pretty rapid rate towards the end of the season when you need him the most. You're not worried, Kenny G?
No, I'm not worried.
No?
I am not worried. By the way, just for the record, Ken Giles on the season, 15 saves, one blown save, a 1.11 whip, and a 1.95 ERA.
You know what he has blown? His elbow. Yes. He's out and he's been on
the IL. I get it. But the games that he pitched in, he was on track to be one of the best relievers, one of the best closers in baseball before he got hurt.
Ifs, buts, candies, nuts.
1.95 ERA. Ken Giles.
I need him on the field.
You hated on Ken Giles.
I still hate him. Well, and the fact that he cussed at A.J. Hinch when he got taken out of a game.
Just saying.
That he screwed up.
You always pick on these guys. And then they go elsewhere. And then they prove to you that you just got to be patient.
So basically, if we could reverse the trade, Giles would be unavailable. And instead, you keep Osuna. And
he's
just blowing up.
Were you hating on Altuve when he wasn't hitting 300?
No.
Were you hating on Gurriel? Yeah, you were.
No.
You were absolutely.
No.
Oh, we got to get better production out of Yuli Gurriel.
I would, if I said that he was slumping and we needed better production, sure, that's not keeping up on
him. Then why don't
you
say the same thing about pitchers? You always do this to the bullpen. You can never just say, oh, they're going through a slump right now. They're having a tough time right now.
You
immediately go, oh, we got to get a new closer. This guy sucks. Like, just,
he isn't Rondon now. He doesn't suck. He's just having, I get the rough patch, but then do what you did with Presley. Then say, you know what? Here's a week and a half stretch, Roberto Osuna, where we're just not going to pitch you and work on some stuff.
Last night, as I laid my head on my pillow, I did think, it's going to be interesting when Osuna magically goes on the 10-day DL to get a little rest. Yeah, that's probably what's going to happen. But you leave this bullpen alone. You're going to make me ugly cry. This is a fine, upstanding bullpen, and there's no issues.
None. Zero? Okay. You remember you said that, because I see it a little differently.
There's a couple issues.
Because you know what? Yesterday was one of those games where I'm watching the whole game, and I'm like, it was my biggest fear all weekend was they're going to cough one up to a really bad baseball team. And I know baseball's different than a lot of sports, and even you're going to win the series more times than not, but you are going to lose a game here and there. But the fact that they found a way, and the dramatic way they did it in the ninth, and you could have had just a wave of momentum. You keep the winning streak alive. You head off to Chicago, as Blummer would say, happy flight. Everybody's geeked up about the comeback win. Brantley with the Little League home run. And everybody's just juiced. And instead, you get all that emotion riding high, and then boop, 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 boop. All at the end.
You crap the bed. All I have is stats. That's all I can do this up. Is they're fourth in the league as a bullpen in ERA. There's three teams that have a lower ERA as a bullpen than the Houston Astros: Cleveland, Tampa Bay, and San Francisco. That's it. And everybody in that pen is going to struggle at one point. Remember when Ryan Presley didn't give up a single run, and then all of a sudden he gave up a bunch of runs?
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. And then he's back to normal. I mean, Devo struggled. He's looking. Harris has been pretty consistent all year, actually. Rondon has been up and down.
Did you finish the sentence on Devo? Huh? You're like, Devo, he's looking. And then, because, you know, for a while there, he looked like he turned it around. And then his last two outings, he's had hiccups.
But he's been up and down.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's going to happen. No bullpen, no pitcher finishes with a zero ERA, especially in the closer's role. You're going to get got.
But I'm just saying, for a team that has championship aspirations, you got to figure this out pretty quickly here. Whether, like we said, you give him some time off. Okay, but I'm talking about since the All-Star break, that ERA is not good. That whip is not great.
Okay.
So, like I said, either you give him 10 days off, and when Brent Strom gets back, you work with him, and you try and figure out what the cause might be, or try and pinpoint something off a video, or you just give it to Presley for a while and see what happens there. But there's too much to be lost with a team that's too good without trying to at least address it. You have to at least identify that it's an issue and then try and work with it. That's fair. I'm not saying get rid of him. I want to get rid of Rondon.
Hate you.
Will Harris was okay this week, so I'm not going to get on him. Nick even pointed that out. I can't get mad at him. He's right. No, that was. I'm just saying recently.
I have been trying recently. To get you to... Oh, my God. I hate y'all. Both of you.
Well, the hate is flowing freely, which means the suspects are in rare form.
It's like you don't listen to me. Well, now you're giving him credit for the stuff that I've been saying for weeks now? I hate you.
Nick, you can...
I hate you too, Nick, just for getting the credit, and you didn't even cause that. You didn't even make him
You're
do
really going to hate me now.
You probably stole my take, didn't you? It's bad enough Joel does it. Now you're doing it?
I'm going to make you more upset.
What?
One of the winners hung up, so you got to get another winner.
Ah, son of a...
Suck it, bitch!
We'll do four at 2:30. How about that?
Oh, there's a nice little transition.
Oh, geez. At least one of us. You two have the four-year education, but I had to think of that. Okay.
First of all, we're not trying to go out of our way to help you out. It's your damn league. Fix it.
You know what the league's name is? We Hate Joel. That's the league name. Official. We Hate Joel.
And Nick league. Escapes that, see?
We Hate Joel. That's the league name. Well, join my league. We Hate Joel.
I like it. Just wait till you hear mine.
Damn it. I should have let you go first.
We got more coming your way. It's the first hour of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through hour number one, three-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us on the go wherever you may be. USA Mike, you disappeared, and you wanted to talk Osuna. So if you're in the neighborhood and you bring us back, we'll get you in. We appreciate you. We were talking Astros before the break. Look, overall, it was a very positive weekend. I mean, the show offensively that they put on, Yordan and company, but to score...
If he doesn't tank, he's Rookie of the Year, right?
No doubt about it.
If he doesn't tank.
Now,
and that game is his signature game.
Yeah,
unless
exactly.
He does something better than three home runs and a grand slam.
Yeah, I mean, all of the above. And here's the thing. I just don't want Houstonians to lose their mind like when James Harden doesn't win an MVP. They have a bigger goal in mind, and that is to win the whole damn thing. But at the same time, I mean, at the clip he's going, and I understand all the historic comparisons where people are also like, now, wait a minute, you can't compare him to Ted Williams. Different era, and Ted Williams, it's like they're trying to say in the NBA with the no hand-checking rule. There were people on Twitter that were like, now, the way the game has changed, the hitter has so much more freedom. You can't compare him to Ted Williams. Well, statistically, I'm not saying over the course of his entire career, but the numbers speak for themselves over the first 50 games that he's in the same ballpark statistically with Albert Pujols and Ted Williams. You can't argue that, although I'm not saying he's going to be the splendid splinter too. I'm just saying he's done what everybody had doubts
right.
of anybody being able to do.
Every other player in baseball history through their first 45 games has had an opportunity to do the same thing and haven't. Mm-hmm. He's in rare
You could be
company.
Joe Charbonneau. You could have that Rookie of the Year.
I remember Richard Hidalgo getting off to a great start. I remember Alex Bregman not getting off to
right.
a great start. I just what he's doing is impressive, and I think he's on pace to win Rookie of the Year. I don't think that's I'm not coming up with some hot right. take, big revelation or anything. But again, you want to temper it because all I keep thinking about is I'm watching this kid, and he's must watch baseball. And mm-hmm. every time he steps to the plate, I have to stop what I'm doing and watch. Right, but at the same time. I think about next year already, just as the pessimist in me is like, man, I hope he doesn't tank next year. I hope that this is the level he plays at. But it's going to be a little difficult to expect this kid to produce these kind of numbers year in and year out for the next 15 years as a major. And as a DH, it should be longer. I mean, mm-hmm. this dude, if he's going to be a DH and maybe play some first base, he should be playing into his 40s. He's 21.
But again,
oh my God.
For all the positives and years. Superlatives we lay on this kid, the other thing is, as you and I have both said, is that pitchers are going to get a scouting report. Excuse me. And they're going to know.
get upset about this.
Yeah, they're gonna. Up. You know, it's every like people keep saying, when are they gonna learn not to go inside on this guy? Yeah. Well, when they figure out that there are a couple of cold zones too, and the pitchers are able to pinpoint those. Those numbers aren't going to stay. Now, you hope that they do, and you hope that consistently, we've talked about he has a really good eye at the plate for a home run hitter and a big swinger. But at the same time, when that scouting report comes out, when pitchers start to figure him out a little, he's going to have to work a little harder, and the numbers are probably going to go down at least a little bit. Now, we're not going to go out.
Of course.
I'm just going to say, it's like we always say, you're going to kind of revert back to the mean.
Regress to the mean.
Whatever, regress this.
Yes,
the fact of the matter is he's going to probably have his numbers go down a little bit.
Yeah, but you know, he's establishing a baseline right now. Then the question is, can he maintain this for the rest of his career? And I mean, I hope he does. But just like we saw with Correa in the year he won Rookie of the Year, and how, you know, we have expectations of Yuli, and you know, if Jose Altuve doesn't get 200 hits, we're taking it back. But that's just, you know, there are moments where these guys will peak, and sometimes you don't control when. And it's very possible that Yordan Alvarez is having his best year of his career now.
You
and then he's
not.
Never going to
but
do this again.
I think the biggest positive, again, that's why I don't want people to lose their minds about the Rookie of the Year award and realize what he has done is he has taken a situation that would have had needed to have been addressed before the trade deadline if Tyler White was performing at the level he was performing at, and that if Jeff Luno would have had to look for a bat or two. Because remember now, early in the year when you mentioned it earlier, Gurriel was struggling too. So now you got Gurriel and Tyler White scuffling a little bit, and you had people saying, do you need a first baseman? Do you need to address that part of your lineup? Well, what Yordan Alvarez has allowed you to do and Jeff Luno to do is he took all of the resources and all of the assets in the minor leagues and was able to focus solely on arms because he knew that that bat in the lineup was shored up. Now, it also helped that Gurriel snapped out of it and he's been on fire. But the fact of the matter is, there was a gaping hole that needed to be addressed, first base and DH and otherwise, that was completely taken care of when this kid came on the scene and just started ripping the cover off of it.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, he filled a need and he allowed them to get better in other areas. And I mean, for the rest of this year, you just feel like he's not cooling off.
No, and that's why I'm saying you're absolutely right in looking at like, hopefully he doesn't fall off next year. But at the same time, he gave you a whole lot this year, not only with what he's solely done on the field, but he gave you flexibility in the trade market because you didn't have to address what otherwise would have been a big
game. That's a great point. And you know what? I would trade him falling off next year for a World Series. I'd do it in a heartbeat.
Absolutely.
It's like one of those ones where, you know, people still look back at Chris Burke and the contributions he made when the Astros were making that World Series run. And, you know, he's nowhere to be found. But if this is the best we ever get from Yordan Alvarez and it results in a World Series – and he wins Rookie of the Year? Boy, how magical is that? How cool is that?
He could be J.R. Tolles and have a record of 8 RBIs in a game, but never to be heard from again.
Exactly.
Or you can look at the two guys that were chasing those kind of records and numbers, and you take Alvarez and take Yuli and go, you know what? It's worked out okay. And these guys have made a name for themselves. And part of the reason why Yuli's made a name for himself is because he not only has performed at a pretty high level, but he helped them win a title.
Yeah.
And so you're right. If they can win the title this year, and Yordan's a big part of that, and what his contributions have been throughout the year have led to that, then he's solidified a lot for this franchise.
He has indeed.
So that'll be fun to see how it continues to go. I will say this. Mm-hmm. The pit in my stomach after yesterday's game. Because, you know what? I'm so engaged with this team and so all in on this team that I was like, you know what? Seventh and eighth inning, I'm just going, man, you had first and second, nobody out. You had a chance to at least tie it and push it to extra innings. Uh-huh. Then with the big rally, I'm like, man, it's going to be a great way to close this trip, and what a huge momentum boost for this team. And then when the air gets out of your sails and Osuna gives up that home run, I'm right. The rest of the day, I was like, I'm just
bummed,
ticked off.
Somebody texted and said, I wonder if I'm the only one that caught Joel tell Barry to regress this. He low-key snuck it in there.
No,
I have headphones at work. Everyone, most people that listen hear it. He got it in there. We don't have to address it every time we get a shot in on each other. No, we're big boys.
Bitch.
Oh, see, don't start stealing my stuff again, man.
I mean, if I'm going to get accused of it, I might as well just keep doing it.
No, you shouldn't. What do you mean accused of? Joe.
If it's a bit.
I remember you being like, I'm not saying any curse words on air. This is permanent. And now you call me a bitch every other show.
I don't think it's that frequently.
It's a lot.
Nick tells everybody to suck it.
Which,
I don't really say suck it that much. Bitch, I don't think that's really stealing anything, but suck it, it kind of is. Mm. Just because that bitch, everybody says bitch.
Mm.
I would, I'm not giving you credit for saying the word bitch after a line. Come on, bro. Like,
that's pretty.
You can
pretty.
All you want. It doesn't mean you're the...
Pretty.
So you're telling me you're the only person that uses the word bitch?
I'll just
the
say
the entire planet will finish a sentence and say bitch.
No, I'm just saying frequently on radio, I'm probably up
that's
there.
That's not stealing a bit.
Okay.
Let's get to Jerry. Jerry's been waiting a while.
We gotta go to break.
It's a twofold. You got time, Nick, before the break, or do you want to go to break? We'll go to break. We'll hit Jerry on the way back. So, Jerry, hang in there. It's twofold anyway, because it'll lead into another topic for the afternoon, which is the NBA, again, staying relevant. The schedule release. Everyone can't wait. Hold your breath. It's coming right around the corner. It's the second hour of The Usual Suspects, too, right here on ESPN 97.5.